So in Lamentations 3 and verse 33, we begin our thoughts, meager thoughts, about affliction. I know as pastor that everyone in the fellowship is afflicted in some way. The nature of the afflictions vary. And we will do ourselves good if thinking of our affliction, if we recall these to mind, we will have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we begin in Lamentations 3 and verse 33. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. So we are all faced with affliction. But the Lord does not do it willingly. He does afflict, but he does not do it willingly. But neither does he do it unwillingly in the sense that he is compelled by some outward power to do it. He doth not afflict willingly as if he does it, but unwillingly, because of some power that he can't control. It is perfectly planned for our good. He does not like to see us hurt or frustrated, but neither does he like or love to see us going our own ways to destruction or even temporary misery. So the affliction which he does impose upon us has the purpose of turning us to him, and the turning us to him will itself polish us, refine us, remove the dross. It's a very helpful picture. We may think to ourselves, in the affliction which we currently have, what dross is being chipped away, brushed away, knocked away? Is it long-standing dross that has really got to be chiseled with difficulty? Or is it just surface, and can it be easily removed? And affliction is how the Lord brings his children to glory by polishing them, and the polishing is drawing them to himself, encouraging them to look to him and draw near to him more personally than ever, and have fresh experiences of his love and his kindness and of his might and of his power. They will keep us closer to him in all the things of life. Now, that list in Lamentations 3 of afflictions is in itself quite extensive. The first thing, and the reason the hymn 86, was that I wish to make the point that all affliction of believers, or shall I say, no affliction of believers, is punishment. In the sense, it might be a mild reproof, but it is not punishment in the sense of the penal visiting of our guilt upon us. The Lord has borne that. The Lord has taken that away. It is the making of us more like our Saviour, drawing us the more to him. The atoning work is done, we sang. The victim's blood is shed. Jesus now is gone. His people's cause to plead. He stands in heaven their great high priest, and bears his name upon their name upon his breast. So though it is for our good, he has borne the punishment of our sins. And as we shall see, not all affliction is punishment. A lot of affliction is not punishment, but is sent by the Lord for our good, to draw us closer to him and to seek perhaps and give priority to the things that are eternal. So we may turn to Genesis 3 and be reminded that the things in which we suffer affliction are because we are human, because we are members of the human race that is cursed. And though we are believers, we take our share of this affliction. First, in Genesis 3:16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. So affliction, sorrow, greatly multiplied. Concerning family, in sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. I won't go into that just now. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Sorrow again, affliction. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles it shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So simply by being human, fallen human beings, we are afflicted. We are cursed. And the sorrow meets both man and woman at every step. And of course, the disintegration of our bodies, even if it were not by disease, would cause us unsettledness of heart, uncertainty. Dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. What will that be like? So there are uncertainties, there are sorrows, there's a mixture of all sorts of things. Some of it simply because we're human. Now, if we go back to Psalm 119, we'll look at one or two of the verses there that we read together. We'll look at them. First of all, in Psalm 119 and verse 67. Psalm 119 and verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Anticipating a bit, I'm going to mention Job, but Job was perfect in the sight of God. That is to say, he'd been justified by faith. He knew it. And therefore, he was against and knew it was untrue what the friends were saying. But the reason that he went through all the things that he went through was in the battle against Satan. Because Satan was saying to God, he won't be faithful, try him. Well, he didn't actually say that, but God said, I will try him. And he will, of course, come forth as gold. So, all right, we will come forth as gold. So you ask, all right, apart from the battle with Satan, Job, though the Lord regarded him as perfect, it still uncovered faults, errors, mistakes, hardnesses of heart as the Lord worked through this thing with him. It was to bring him through to an ultimate end because he pleased the Lord in everything he did. But in that way, as you read through Job, you realize that he's still confessing the sins of his heart. Though the Lord Jesus has said he was perfect and was therefore justified. So it is not amiss for us as saved people, when we feel it in our hearts, to say, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Being afflicted brought me to my senses, perhaps. Being afflicted made me perhaps realize that the things I was looking for or searching for or spending my time doing or my hobbies were leading me on a downward path. And the cure for that was turning to the Saviour through his word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. He's not implying that all afflictions have ceased, but that the word of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ turned us from our affliction and before turned us aside for our stray, going astray, and the affliction brought us to our senses. And the next verse acknowledges, thou art good and doest good. This was indeed a wonderful thing for us, that we saw early enough in our lives the affliction that is there. And then in verse 71 of Psalm 119, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. Here is a person who has looked back over his life or her life and said, yes, I did go astray. And looking back now, I can see how much I was on the downward path. So it was good for me that this happened. I didn't welcome it at the time. For one, I know my life was going downhill. It was going downhill when I was saved at such a pace that I had no idea what would happen to me. And reflecting on that in after days, it is not difficult to say, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. But there's a sense in which we never learn. When other things happen to us, we have to learn it all over again, very often. The wheel has to be reinvented. We can't take the knowledge that we had from before and react rightly to the next thing that afflicts us. That's hard. But affliction is designed to turn us to the Lord, to keep his word, and to acknowledge before him that he is good and doest good. And that good was to introduce us to the Bible, to the whole word of God, to the things that we've been overlooking or the things that we have backslidden from. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And then in verse 75, of Psalm 119. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Now, afflictions go to the very center of our being. If it's health, of course it is internal. But there may be providences in life that turn us away from living in another country, doing a particular job. The things that we thought we wanted to do, the Lord has made it that we don't. But his judgments are right. And all he is doing to us is good. And if only when these things are crossing our paths, when these things are troubling our hearts, when these things are exercising our faith, if only we could say to him therein then, I know that in faithfulness thou hast afflicted me. The worst part of the battle would then be done. We would be set at peace. We would be drawn near to the Saviour. And all who are in glory, though they have come from different lands and different times and different cultures, different wealth or poverty, yet all of us being drawn close to the Saviour, those things will have drawn us the more closely to him. It is possible that those who draw near to the Saviour in abject poverty will find more wonder in being drawn close to Christ and entering upon an eternal salvation when they have little here. They may feel it more gratefully than others who've not been in that situation. But I only say may because I don't know that. There may be those who've been brought through affliction, even though they're wealthy, even though they have many, many things. But they too are drawn near to the Saviour and enjoy his presence. And then what we didn't read in Psalm 119 and verse 107. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. So here is someone in the midst of trouble. It's a help. Help me. I am afflicted very much. There are times when the feelings of our affliction gain the upper hand. You might think that the drawing near to death in times of illness might be so great an affliction that they would gain the upper hand. But of course we know the Christian experience in very many means that the faith of their hearts and the presence of the Saviour comes to the fore in such times. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me. Make me alive. Make me alive in spirit. Show me the true significance of these things. Show me what action I should take, if any. Show me how to handle the things that I am going through. And I may one day be an example to others. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Now in Isaiah 53 and verse 4, we are reminded that we considered Christ afflicted. We considered him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Indeed, he was stricken. And indeed, he was smitten of God. And indeed, he was afflicted. But it was for his people. it was for us. And so there was, we can see in this verse, Isaiah 53 verse 4, we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. The being stricken and smitten and afflicted achieves the end desired. For Christ made full atonement by his blood for every one of his people. And we might learn that if we are stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, God's purpose will be fulfilled in us. Mind you, that verse also says something else. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. We'd got it wrong. Oh yes, he was these things. But human nature says there's no point in it. Dyot, who's lived so closely to Jessica, could watch every stage of what she went through. And she knew, and he taught her to recognize, and he remembered that there was a purpose in the things that she went through. You look at those who are stricken in Christ, who are smitten in Christ, and there's a purpose. Their life isn't over. They may be disqualified in our minds for doing anything helpful in this world at all, as the world thinks of success. But as the Saviour looks at success, those who throw themselves upon him, those who depend utterly upon him, those who love him and enjoy his preciousness, then the Lord calls them closer to himself, despite their difficulties. Now, that was the psalmist's response to thinking about these things. But now I have some more things. And though I've tried to get them in a logical order, doubtless when you reflect upon them later, they'll come to you as you want them to. But I next wanted to speak about God's choice of affliction. He does not willingly afflict. But he does, as he did with Job, make a choice of affliction. Won't go into Job, you know where it is, you could read it all. But the Lord chose the affliction of Job. It involved losing all his possessions. No, it didn't. It was worse than that. He lost all his possessions but one servant who came and told him. He lost all his children in one go. It might have been better not to know. But there was someone servant who came and told him. In other words, it was as pushed to the limit by Satan as it could be. But Job was chosen by the Lord. It comes out so clearly in chapters 1 and 2. To fight this particular battle. And he was rewarded for doing so. And then in Isaiah 48 and verse 10, a slightly different angle on it. Isaiah 48 and verse 10. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with or as silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. So if the translation with silver is taken, it means he hasn't refined us by making us rich. Or it might mean he hasn't refined us in the way that silver is refined. But he has chosen us, or individuals here, I have chosen thee, in the furnace of affliction. We, part of yielding to the Lord Jesus Christ is to yield to his ways. And his choice will always be best for us. But for some, It is in the furnace of affliction. Not all, or if all, in degree, but the word furnace suggests something very powerful. The burning fiery furnace of Daniel slew those who even came to the edge, except for the three. A furnace is somewhere where many will not survive. But believers being burned, being troubled, being forged like steel is forged in affliction. It's God's choice. And it has to be the best. It has to be God's way. Now, when you ask yourself, when I was younger, how does my migraine help me in affliction? How does it help my life? And then as you get older, there are other things, other difficulties. There are things within our bodies. You well know. Strokes, cardiac arrest, deafnesses, blindness, all sorts of things. And they are within us. And you might describe what Jessica went through as a furnace because she knew nothing else. And it wasn't just blindness, it was liver, it was kidney, and so on. And then there are externals, like trauma and accident, which leave us incapacitated. And to turn an accident, in inverted commas, into understanding it's God's purpose, though by a furnace, to perfect my life, is a major step in understanding the Saviour and in drawing close to him. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Sometimes like the psalmist in Psalm 116, who spoke ill-advisedly, he spoke wrongly. He said all men were liars. He was under great pressure. And he reacted. And so it may be that we react, if not in public, within our souls towards the Lord. But the furnace is of his choosing. And in the case of whoever pleads that, some people may go through one experience and others that they wouldn't worry about, where another sees that as their furnace. That's what I meant by that. But those who acknowledge that the Lord has chosen them with all the difficulties and pressures of the things they do go through, all the time-consuming nature of it, and all the limitation it provides, then they are making progress in the Christian's life to understand that choice. And further in the passage we read from Lamentations, Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 1. I am the man, you remember? I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Now that's a temporary position. He's on his way through that to light, but just as the event hits him, that's how he feels. It's all darkness all around. It's been going on. We're going to do this week in Mark. The daughter was made better after 12 years, or the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. Things can go on for so long that we lose any sense of where we are. The great storm in Acts 27 that Paul went through, after a fortnight and not being able to see the sun, they didn't really know where they were. They were disorientated. And if we have seen affliction And that affliction seems to be anger. And if it seems to bring us into darkness and not into light, it's temporary. You're on driven. Or as I think we sometimes say about the things of the world, it's always darkest before the dawn. So I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness. So affliction may bring us, put us in a place where we're disorientated. But the Lord knows that. And the Lord will bring us safely through. And then again in Lamentations chapter 3 and verses 19 to 22. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 19 to 22. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, nasty taste, nasty smell. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. I realized I wasn't exempt from what people go through. And when I think about those things, when I recall them to mind, my soul is humbled in me. And because of that, I have hope that it's of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Perhaps I ought to finish this little section with the last verse of Romans 8, because I think we ought just to remember this. This is true of affliction. I'm going to read from verse 36. The context is a bit different, but it does apply to affliction. For thy sake, that's Romans 8:36, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, that's created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. No affliction will finally separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ. He has borne our afflictions. He has borne our sorrows. He has borne our sins. And though we go through the midst of these things while we are in this world, they cannot separate us from the love of Christ. And just finally, as I say, these things are, there's too many to get into a proper order, but I'm sure you'll reflect on the things that you feel most appropriate to yourself after. I'm just going to speak of one or two things in the, that are of the nature of afflictions. Firstly, old age. Old age. And Moses, it's the oldest psalm, but of course we have Moses' song in Deuteronomy 32. But Moses in Psalm 90 and verse 10. The days of our years are 70 and 10. And if by reason of strength they be fourscore years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. We congratulate people on their birthdays. It's quite ridiculous, really. They can't help it. We congratulate people that have got to be 80 or 90, particularly if they get to 100, but they can't help it. It's quite a ridiculous thing to do in its funny way. But the days of our years, if by reason of the strength God gives us to be 80 or more, the strength is labor and sorrow. There is an affliction that comes with old age, a greater disintegration of capacities, a greater disintegration of the body and bodily functions, a slower aptitude for work, an inability to bend or stretch. These are the afflictions of old age, or some of them. And then there are the afflictions, if you like, of youth. In Jeremiah 31, and at verse 18. Jeremiah 31, 18. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus. So we're thinking of affliction. We might be bemoaning ourselves thus. Thou hast chastened me, and I was chastised. As a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke, turn thou me, and I shall be turned. For thou art the Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented. And after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. There are afflictions that belong to the misdemeanors of youth, of which a troubled conscience is quite a major one. Do something that's wrong, and your inward body, even if you're not a believer, and you don't know right from wrong, and you don't know the difference between lies and truth, yet something within you will tell you there is an unease when the follies of youth, when the reproach of youth hits us, either in our youth or otherwise, but we're just thinking about affliction. There is an affliction. There are afflictions that are part of the growing up purposes, part of what we go through in youth. And then, of course, there are those things that are part and parcel of things that we suffer in mid-age. And I've opted for two passages from 2 Corinthians to show that. And the first of them is in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 3. Well, I'll begin at verse 4. Now, all he's illustrating, you see, is here is a man in the full flood tide of his life. Here is a man in his middle golden years. Okay. Has he got affliction? They're golden years. They're years of his prime. They're years when he can really achieve many things. Right, verse 4. Approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. And that's only some of the things that here attack this man in the midstream of life. Now there are pressures, there are subjects we bear, there are things we have to try and understand, there are global forces in which perhaps in the fullness of our life we are involved. and they themselves are afflictions. Paul, just the same in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, or 20, yes, 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as of all. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more infrequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. So there are afflictions of the middle of life. There are afflictions of the glorious years. And largely they come through the nature of the work that has been appointed us. Though, of course, we're not free from ill health or whatever. But it doesn't matter what age we are. There are afflictions which can come upon us. Perhaps one might even say are more appropriate at certain ages, but only the Lord is the judge of that. But there never will be time when we're free from it. So the more we may draw near to the Lord Jesus in the midst of them, the better it will be. And then, folly. Psalm 49. I'm on my last section and it won't take me much longer. Psalm 49. I'll read from verse 6. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. Verse 11. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approved their sayings. So wealth, accomplishments, passing on the hereditary nature of the lands, or passing on to the next generation the things we've worked for. These things, just to pursue these things, is folly. And it leads to misery. And it leads to eventual lack of salvation and death. But Psalm 49 is for, it's a, there is affliction. Then Amos chapter 4 and verse 7 speaks indirectly of an affliction. The end of verse 6 says, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. They've already been afflicted. And also, I have withholden the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One place was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. Famine. Because the Lord can cause it to rain in one place and not in another, as we very well know. But famine. Locusts. Plagues. The things that are from without, these two afflict us as mankind. And impending disasters, and I finish with this, may also afflict us. I'll just give you the references and you know the story. One is the, can you imagine on the waves of the Mediterranean in constant darkness, having thrown out most of the load, but not the tackling? A fortnight without food, probably felt too sick to be bothered, or too just about to go and get it. That's Acts 27. So here is an affliction of clearly the Lord's person. There was mercy in it, for the Lord gave him the life of all the people in the boat, 276 of them. But here is a believer doing the Lord's work, but an affliction comes. And we also read in Mark 4, didn't we, of the storm upon the lake, even with Jesus in it, even with Jesus going to do his own work and even with the disciples doing his work. They were not free from attack. No, Satan can't win. Affliction attacks us all. Now, there are so many different forms of affliction. And each one of us knows that which plagues our own hearts. And all I plead tonight is that we use our afflictions by the grace of the Holy Spirit to draw nearer to the Saviour, to draw nearer to the Scriptures and the Gospel, and thus to the Saviour. I plead with you not to let afflictions make you bitter or critical or hard-hearted. But your love is kept open and pure to the Saviour and therefore to your brethren and therefore as an example to the world. They have afflictions too. And the way believers handle them will be of great help to them, at least in some circumstances. May the Lord bless us. Amen.